Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
And I'm Chemda, and I'm going to only be ladylike through this whole thing.
Oh, Chemda. It was a trick.
That was Keith.
You set me up. I was like, finally, everybody. And I really let you into my life and my heart. Captain Swiggy sent me a tweet the other day and said, morning, seems I'm having trouble with iTunes VIP feed. I logged into the site. There's no troubles there, but then I get an error when I try to download things. And it was something behind the scenes, ones and zeros. And it is a real short blip, but I understand VIP is important to you. I hope it is.
It's premium.
And you're a captain, Captain Swiggy.
Oh, my God. We failed. Oh, goodness.
So I apologize. A moment without access. That's heartbreaking. So to make it up, use code LOVE, L-O-V-E, and you get $5 credit on your VIP account. How about that? So thank you very much. Thanks for your patience. Ladies and gentlemen, today's guest has been featured on Comedy Central, Night Train with Wyatt Cenac. I saw the clip on Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. That was exciting. I'll fill you in. Don't you worry. The comedy album you want to buy, Stay Eating Cookies, Shalewa Sharp. Hello, Shalewa.
Hello.
Shalewa, you are the only one who manages to just be yourself through that intro. In fact, you're so yourself, you almost fell asleep at your intro.
Oh, I've done so much. I lull myself to sleep with just a loop of people naming my credits before I do things.
This must be nice.
And yeah, it's mostly just people messing up my name.
So Jimmy Fallon would have people review Black Panther, mm-hmm. tell jokes about the movie Black Panther. You're mm-hmm. picked to be one of the people. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's going to be some kind of gimmick. You have to get into a car and sing with him, right? So he puts on Britney Spears. So Jimmy Fallon goes, hey, surprise, I'm bringing out the guy that actually plays Black Panther to shake your hand and say thank you for taking the time, right?
That's correct.
But the way I see it, like that's exciting because you're in a place where you're being filmed for your career and blah blah blah. So I could see that you could be excited about that. But I wonder what it's like when he enters the room and you're like, you're another human. Like I don't.
Well, that's a thing. I do not have a personal history of getting extremely hyped up. I'm always, no. I've always been just a level of chill that sometimes is scary. Right.
Yeah, so that's why I wouldn't be like, and now Shalewa, react to this.
Yeah, so they were, when they had us in our holding, I don't want to say cell, right. but I almost did, but it was much nicer. They showed us things as we were waiting. And of course, no one knew. They showed another one of those Avengers, the Captain America thing. Movie where they're all fighting each other.
Okay.
Civil War,
I believe. You get to watch TV.
So you get to watch that. It was so loud. It was so loud. I don't know how America's watching these movies. They're so loud. It triggered a sneezing fit in me. So I'm just in there sneezing and asking questions, and I'm getting all the Chris's confused because there's like a
Pratt.
Yeah,
Pine.
Rosemary Sage.
Yeah.
Pine. All of them. And I couldn't tell which one was who was playing what. And so I'm asking these people questions and they were all like, why are you here again? Do you even know what you're talking about? But some people, like there was a kid who couldn't decide between his nice button up or a Black Panther t-shirt. And, you know, like people were very like excited and worked up just to talk about the movie. So then with Chadwick coming out,
The guy that plays Black Panther.
Yeah, Chadwick Boseman, Captain Black Panther. I don't know if that's his real
title. He's a captain.
I hope that's what she said. Like, he walks in, Captain.
Captain, how you doing?
Now, did you know it was him? Because there's a lot of black people in Black Panther.
Yes, come on.
Okay.
I didn't partake. I mean, we're all brothers and sisters, right. But I did know it was him. And that's the other thing is after I saw the movie, I went home and for about a week watched all of the press junkets on YouTube. Just because I like to watch the press after the movie's blown up. I'm like, I wonder what they had to say while promoting this thing. And so when he walked out, it felt like another thing I had clicked on YouTube. So I wasn't even like surprised. I was just like, oh yeah, no, sure he'd be here. I think I had that up next on autoplay. I wasn't shocked. Yeah, I was like, yeah, come on in. What's up? Hey, how you doing? How did y'all stay not ashy? You know, I just had that was about it.
And you really do ask that, and they love this. They go, you know what? They end up, you had a little back and forth with them.
Right.
There's a planet out there or another country where they go and get their hair done.
And they have the, I called it the butters, you know, the cocoa butters, the right. shea butters, all those things to keep the ash away and keep you glistening. Everyone was so shiny.
They were all models, right?
Beautiful, beautiful people.
I'll tell you what, this is going to be, you want to make a movie uh-huh. that really changes things.
Yeah.
And as important as this movie was, and in such a big black cast, mm-hmm. how about a movie with all ugly people? We were like, whoa,
that just changed the game. I feel like that's what Miramax movies in the 90s were.
Okay.
Like anything that had Steve Buscemi and I'm going to name people and I really like them a lot, but they are not necessarily easy mm-hmm. to look at. You're Kevin, what's his name? Who's the...
But isn't that funny? You're struggling for two.
No, because there's another guy. I want to say Tim Roth because some people may not find him attractive, mm-hmm. but I absolutely would throw all of my underwear at him. Mm-hmm. I love him, but he has a distinct look.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, there were a lot of maybe not lookers in right. the 90s who did a lot of indie movies. I mean, Liv Schreiber, like he's...
Do you think Harvey Weinstein, being the Jabba the Hutt looking motherfucker, was trying to make a point?
I don't know if he even noticed the guys in there. Possibly,
that's what it was.
You know, maybe like get these skinny, waify gals in here with these... Right. Harvey Keitel fellas. Also, I mean, like, come on. You know, Joe Pesci, are we really? Most of the dudes are not. You got to go back. You got to see, like, young them to really try. And some of them held on to the right. face, and they can carry it with them. But some of them did not. You have to really go back and look at pictures.
Right. You have the same hairstyle as Killmonger, the bad guy from Black Panther.
Yes, it's a modified lady version.
And you have to see Killmonger just to know what people are talking about. Why are you saying I'm his mother?
Well, you have to. I mean, like the kids, they just... I get it because of the haircut, and I was ignoring myself and really hope... I was just ignoring the kids and hoping that no one would say anything
right.
About anything, because when you're on a train with a bunch of children...
Right. After Jimmy Fallon, will people see you on the street and give you the Wakanda salute with the two hands across the
One
chest?
One brave white guy did. Very brave. Well, not that brave. He did it and then ran around the corner. but very brave. And then I was at a burger place and a cook came out from the back and was just like, hey. And I went, hi. And she was like, and then ran back. And I was like, that's weird. Why would she, like the burger's fine. Why would she check on me? And it took like an hour before I was like, oh, I think I know what that was. So yeah. And someone did recognize me on the train and then tweeted about it. And I happened to see that because she tagged me in the tweet. And I was like, oh, I know who that was that looked at me.
Right.
Wow.
I didn't know who it was, but like I remember somebody. I looked up and someone looked and then smiled and then like ran. I'm like, I don't. And I was like, that's weird.
Maybe they think you have superpowers. They're running.
I did just my mean face. Just my mean face.
And you were at a funeral once.
Yeah.
And the paid, this is out of line, the paid funeral server
mm-hmm.
said,
hey, saw you meet Black Panther the other day. It was literally like 3 days after it happened.
Oh, God.
So, yeah. And I was like, yeah, sure did. I'm going to go over here and grieve with the rest of my folks. But thank you
for the mac and cheese.
Thank you so yeah. much. I hope this is delicious.
Was it good?
It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
I wonder who the best, you know, funeral caterer is.
Oh, I wonder. Well, like maybe it depends on the kind of funeral you have to cater. You know what I mean?
If it's for an asshole, you're just serving hot dogs?
Yeah, or just like what are you thinking they would normally? Like how do you pick out? Do you pick out the recently deceased favorite food?
No.
You don't want to do that?
No, that's my other option.
No,
I already had to go to the restaurant with that fucking asshole when he was alive.
So like
my
so then
now.
Do you just go with all right, well, this appears to be a black funeral, so I don't know. Mac and cheese, collards? Like, what do we
do? You think
serve?
About pulling the server aside, knowing that he's a yapper. Like, mm-hmm. hey, what other funerals have you done?
No.
Anybody famous?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, I doubt it. No, this was a small. This was a small affair. Okay. I can't see where they would also do big ticket. Right. Funerals.
Well, I do want to get more into movies during this episode, but mm-hmm. first, let me say I need to get your opinion on Donald Trump meeting okay. the great Kim Jong Un. Okay, and
yeah.
I and I know that he's great because mm-hmm. the president told me this is a great man.
Right.
Now, to me,
sure.
I used to not think that it's out of line to compare Kim Jong Un to Hitler, and I'm not exaggerating. When you're starving your people, when you're not killing them, starving them to the point that parasites grow inside their body.
Mm.
This is certainly Hitler-esque, but Donald Trump is telling me that he is a great man because it takes a great man to do great things mm-hmm. and make this country work and to look at peace. What do we think during this?
Didn't Trump also say that he admired how people like listened to Kim Jong-un and was like, I wish my people would.
Yeah, I wish they would. Yeah.
Would listen to me like that, or pay attention yeah. to me like that. Like
he said,
that,
oh, I would love his hairstyle.
Oh.
Well, Trump did. Trump said, "I don't understand why it's not mandatory law. People copy my haircut."
Well, I mean, like, okay, when there was first talk of this summit, and then Trump wrote that letter saying why he wasn't going to go,
mm-hmm.
and it was insane. A coworker was like, I can't believe he would write something like that. You know, like we can all like, and I had to explain to him, he's writing to Kim Jong-un, who is also nuts.
Right.
So they are speaking their own language. We don't understand it because we are
sane
for the most part. You know, not in that world and of our right minds.
Is there
but
any?
They definitely understood it because look, they ended up meeting anyway.
Is there anything to Donald Trump being insane? Mm-hmm. Let him go, make some kind of deal with an insane person. Don't worry that you're actually legitimizing a mass murder.
Oh, I don't. He's not thinking about anyone else at all. Like, there's no right. way you can't. Also, he's old as dirt. So any of the reasons, rationales, anything that you want to give, like present to him as to why he should maybe rethink things, they're not going to work because he just have a birthday? Is he like 200 or something? How old is Trump now?
This is the same, by the way.
72?
This is the same.
Is that it?
No.
Older. Maybe?
Why are you putting me on the spot?
Oh, sorry. Okay.
I don't know, but I
didn't
mean,
go
like,
for
he's
it.
Certainly old enough, like, you can't. We're not going to teach him how to
right.
do
he's
anything.
He's 72.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
So yeah. So like he's not gonna change his mind except when he wants to change his mind. He's not going to listen to anyone because he's gotten this far.
Right. Well, this is the same. I remember this was just back in November when Trump tweets out, "Why would Kim Jong-un insult me by calling me old when I would never call him short and fat?
Mm.
Oh well, I try so hard to be his friend, and maybe someday that will happen."
Who is this little girl that people have voted into
right?
office?
Right. And then you see they are having a meeting together.
Also, he really thought that was fire, too. He thought that was.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to get him with this one. Yeah. Come on, man.
And then Trump is taking a picture with Kim Jong-un. They're both on either side of a large dinner table with mm-hmm. other people. And there's photographs. And Trump says, make sure you get us nice and handsome and slim.
Yep. I remember. I saw that clip.
So he still gets in a zing. You see Kim Jong-un's face. Like, is the translator saying this right to me properly?
But also what he doesn't know. Of course, why would he know? Because he didn't read about any of the customs of anything.
Mm-hmm.
They are, Kim Jong-un is being respectful to his elders because that's the culture. So that's why it's easy to say this is a crazy old dude because Kim Jong-un is, how old is he? He's young.
Khemda's going to go for it. Khemda?
Ageless.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, I believe that's what he tells his people. So, so everything that he was doing that was respectful of the elderly, Trump saw as, yeah, he's bowing down to me. And it's like, no, because you're old. It's not a
respect
thing.
You know what this feels
like? It's like...
Do you know what this feels like? It feels like an ex-boyfriend and the current boyfriend got together and they're pretending like they're not playing whose dick is better. Do you know what I mean?
Like there's it, definitely it has that vibe. There's definitely a put your dick on the table feeling with this.
But it's like a lot of
ego. Unfortunately, the dicks are, you know, weapons.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Kim Jong-un is in his early 30s.
Okay. So, yeah. So that's going to be a much more viral, virile.
Wait, he's
weapon.
Really in his early 30s?
Yeah.
Don't forget, he's a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm seriously shocked. That's so young.
Mm-hmm.
Trump says, everybody can now feel much safer the day I took office. There is no longer nuclear threat from North Korea.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Great.
Then what deal did you make?
Yeah.
Tell us what makes peace.
Well,
what
you are know, the words? Well, you know what it is? It's in his, he feels it. That's when you know that the deal is good. He felt it. I feel it. It feels good.
During an interview on the Fox News Channel, Bret Baier pressed Trump about North Korea's dismal human rights record, pointing that Kim has, quote, done some really bad things. Trump responded, yeah, but so have a lot of people. They've done bad things. I mean, I could go through a lot of nations where a lot of bad things were done. I could
name one. No, I need him to name one and what the bad thing was.
I could not say this in a book report.
Yeah, no, there's no way. Yeah, that's definitely C. C minus.
You know, you call people killers. He's a killer. He's clearly executing people, says the reporter. Still, Trump praised the dictator, saying, hey, he's a tough guy. When you take over a tough country, tough people, and you take it over from your father, I don't care who you are, what you are, how much of an advantage you have. If you can do that at 27 years old, I mean, that's 1 in 10,000 could do that. So he's a very smart guy. He's a great negotiator.
He's literally talking about himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's Trump's literally talking about himself having to deal, like getting money when his dad died and him taking over.
Yeah.
And so he's just like, yeah, no, taking over after your dad. You got to be tough. You got to be smart. You must be smart. You can't, right? We're all smart. Oh, I'm smart. Please, dad, love me. Please love me.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's totally what
now
Trump
during,
is doing.
That. Now, don't get confused. During this meeting, he still found time. Still fine to talk about Robert De Niro being at the Tonys.
Oh, yeah. No,
saying,
that's
fuck
what he's
Trump.
That's what he's worked up about.
Donald Trump says Robert De Niro, a very low. Now, it must be tough, I have to admit, to be president, to be, let's say you're Obama and mm-hmm. you're at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Mm-hmm. And you have to play it cool knowing you just killed Osama bin Laden. I kind of equate it to this, that you're Donald Trump. Talking to Kim Jong-un, and you have to play it cool, knowing in the back of your head, Robert De Niro needs to be attacked back.
He probably talked to Kim Jong-un about Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't play it cool. Obama can play it cool. Obama can have Osama bin Laden killed, go up there, do a really good set, a really good comedy set, after Seth Meyers goes after Trump, and then preempt The Apprentice the next night to announce that he had bin Laden killed. Like, that's chill.
Trump says that Robert De Niro, a very low IQ individual, has received too many shots to the head by real boxers in movies.
Reference point is like 81.
But how did you get Robert De Niro's score? His IQ score.
I know. Don't worry. I know. Believe me.
He knows. He feels it.
Yes. Oh, that's right. The mm-hmm. feeling. Mm-hmm.
I watched him last night and truly believe he may be punch drunk. I guess he doesn't realize the economy is the best it's ever been, with employment being at an all-time high and many companies pouring back into our country. Wake up, Punchy.
Wait, you know what, though? Wake up, Punchy is a good one.
Man, yeah. He is really killing it with these tweets. Wake up, Punchy? All right.
He thinks that Robert De Niro got hit too many times in play movies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The last time Robert De Niro played a boxer in a movie was, what was that? Was that Deer Hunter?
People keep that.
What was
Keith.
The one? Wasn't that like, that was like 80, 81.
You're thinking Raging Bull. But
Raging Bull, okay.
But he did do something where like an old boxer comes back. So maybe that's the one that really hurt him.
Is it Grudge Match?
Yes.
2013. Raging Bull was 1980.
See, so this acting, it really could stick with you. Here's you know how like on this show sometimes I'll be like let's say
imagine the people in Martin Scorsese movies.
What do you mean?
like the brain damage? Like, aren't his like throwing people off the roofs and whatever?
I did see clips of Trump supporters who were also De Niro fans being very angry at what De Niro said and destroying. I don't know if they all own pizza joints, but or if they're all in Staten Island. I have no idea. But they were destroying their Robert De Niro paraphernalia because they were angry at what he said about Trump. And to that I say, y'all know Robert De Niro exclusively dates black women, right? Like, they're so there. That would have been a reason alone for y'all to be upset.
You know what's cute? I love these stupid protests because it's like, you know what? I have things and I'm going to break them and you're going to feel them.
Right. Yeah. Robert De Niro. Especially when you have to go out and buy the things and then destroy the things. That's the my best. Favorite. That's my favorite thing.
Thank you for your
recently.
Support.
Like, yeah, okay.
KeithandTheGirl.com/store. You could buy anything there. Destroy the fuck out of
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. A couple of times.
And you know, I walk into a pizza place and I don't see De Niro on the wall.
You're not
enough her? Scarface posters can make up for that. I'm turning right around.
You're not
around.
Doing it. You're not doing it.
Yeah, so you're That's only right. hurting yourself. Sometimes I read a story or, you know, some point is made on this show and I act disgusted. And I rip up a piece of paper. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I thought this was very funny when Bianca pointed out this story that Donald Trump usually rips up papers when he's done for them them, tosses them in the trash or on the floor. And then people have, because you can't just rip up papers in the White House, people take the papers and tape them back together. That is somebody's job for $60,000+ a year.
And the two main guys who are in charge of like making sure papers made it into the library, the presidential library, they both got fired recently. So now I guess they just have interns doing it. But like, yeah, but they were like, this is insane that I have to put things together.
And they tell like him anyway, and he still does it.
He still does it.
The Presidential Records Act, which stipulates that basically every piece of paper the president touches must be shipped off to the National Archives to be preserved for posterity. But instead of saying, Mr. President, you really need to stop tearing up these documents because it's illegal and, you know, weird, White House staffers decided it's easier to collect the scraps of paper and have a whole team of government employees tape them back together.
What a monster.
Staffers had the fragments of paper collected from the Oval Office as well as the private residence and send it over to records management across the street from the White House for colleagues to reassemble, says this worker. Gets
Imagine how many times they put together things and it turns out it's just dirty McDonald napkins.
We got scotch tape, the clear kind. You found pieces and taped them back together, and then you gave it back to the supervisor.
Oh, my God. Guys, we're talking about our president. People, if you live in America right now, this is your president. And here's the lesson, okay? This is my lesson. Do anything. If you're in a job right now and you're like, why am I in a job? And you've been telling yourself that for 5 years. Trump is the president. It's time to do whatever the fuck you want. I don't understand. Like,
what?
I don't understand.
Oh, you mean like now's the time to follow your dreams? Because Trump is president? Here's what I think. Man, fuck a dream. Dreams ain't gonna get you nowhere. Clearly, it doesn't matter. Like, take to the streets. I don't know what to do. I feel this really like crushes spirits in a way that I'm like,
life doesn't seem real.
This is throwbacky. This is 60s stuff. This is 50s, 60s stuff. This is like your moment. Like, walk it like you talk it. You know what I mean? Don't be bold on Twitter, but then not.
What are you doing?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know what to do that would make a difference.
I don't either because I see a lot of uprising. But if I went over to the White House and started with a pitchfork, I guarantee I turn around and I'm all alone.
Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough. I want to say take to the streets, but I also understand if you don't want to take to the streets because I don't want to take to the streets. I'm not I don't like being outside. And so, like, I don't know if I'm donating money, is it going to where it needs to go to? If I'm voting, I mean, like, is that a thing? Because, you know, now we have people outwardly doing things to voter rolls that black people have been saying, you know, they're bullshitting and like we go and there's all kinds of trouble. And usually people are like, nah, that must have just been your precinct or whatever. Now it's just like boldly like, yeah, no, if you don't have ID, nothing you do matters. If you're not in the right place, we can't even do an absentee. But all kinds of just, they're just changing, redistricting, all kinds of stuff that they're just blatantly doing. And it's like, what am I supposed to do? And I just feel impotent. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm angry, right. But I don't know what to do.
When you see a so-called friend
right.
telling you, are we done with this American-Russian voting collusion talk already? Nothing's been found. People are in jail.
Yeah. Manafort's what? There.
People are yeah. in jail.
I mean, like,
things
it's
going to
take
happening.
Time. It's going to take time. It took a while to get Nixon out. I think everyone wants everything to happen the way, like, Twitter does. Like, we've tweeted about it. Why isn't the president out?
He's been trending for a week.
You know, like, well, I don't understand. So no one really understands the history of it. Like, this right. is going to take a minute.
But isn't his lawyer in hot trouble, right? And my brother was telling me that... he was such a cheapo that he didn't get, like, they're going through all his files, everything. Mm-hmm. He's such a cheapo, he didn't get a shredder that shreds right. He just, you know, there's like a million different kinds of shredders.
Right.
And some like completely eviscerate the thing, yes. which is probably what you're supposed to do. He got one, not only does it not completely destroy the document, it doesn't even cross the opposite way. So it just...
It's just the strips?
Yes.
That you can...
So now, what they're doing... Do you remember the superhero movie where who's the penguin superhero?
Sure.
Movie? Batman?
They're hiring penguins to put together these pieces of paper.
Well, good for them for getting work. They are... okay, so then he is like... They're bringing jobs to America.
It reminded me of that because he put together all of the papers because sure. he's like, they are putting together all the shredded pieces of paper. And it's not like they have to do it, you know, like hire an intern and just kind of have them match. It's all digital. Mm. They just put the strip in there and the computer finds the words and they're just creating documents. They're dead. This is the person who goes, yeah, like the fixer. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, if you call yourself a fixer, mm-hmm. are you a fixer? Like, you can't just... Yeah, I fix things. That's what I do. I fix things for Trump. I'm like, oh, you're not supposed to tell me. Fixers are just supposed to move in silence and then suddenly everything's fine. You're not just right. supposed to announce. You're not supposed to have it on your business card. Like, I'm fixer Michael Cohen. Like, that's not how that works.
But that's how it goes in the movies, and I want to be cool.
Oh, my God.
Right. What are you? I'm a party entertainer in the form of giving cocaine.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, just like, don't, come on. Be better at that. Be best, as Melania would say if she were around. Where is that bitch? Has anyone seen her for real?
By the way, speaking of Russia, the World Cup is going on. Do you get into that?
Maybe she's over there.
You think?
No.
Do you know that there's soccer balls?
Yeah.
For the World Cup, they put if you open it, there's another soccer ball inside. Like, this is crazy. Cut it out. What's going on?
Don't take
home any souvenirs.
I do support all of the calf muscles that are popping off, and probably pretty good haircuts.
Is that your
are
thing?
Popping off.
Calf muscles?
I like a soccer body. I do. I've always liked soccer players, and they got a decent. I like the calf muscle.
How is dating going? Okay. Are you on any apps?
No. You know, I gotta leave him alone.
But you're not.
You're a proud black woman. Could you date a white person with them not being able to?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Oh well. Yeah. I'm not that proud.
Okay.
No. I am for the most part equal opportunity.
Oh, that's sweet.
You know, I'll take all comers.
Nah.
But
she made a face at her.
Well, she's like, yes. and they do.
But you know, like, So I think right now my racial ratio probably is still majority white.
Yep.
I think
controversial.
Yeah. Well, not really. Is it? Maybe.
After Black Panther, everything changed.
It is if Keith is trying to hit on you.
Oh. No, well then, yeah, no, it's still not that. I mean, I don't know. You know, these crazy kids today, they say they don't even see color.
That's right. I think it's the white people that say that.
Yeah. No, for sure.
I think black people are saying
that. Yeah, no, we've been seeing it all over the place. It's everywhere.
Yesterday we were talking about Chris Hardwick and Bill Clinton came up, who wasn't expecting a Monica Lewinsky question.
Come on, bro. Where has he been?
Right.
Lord.
And so I'm reading this article.
Chimes in to just say the Lord's Prayer.
Oh, child.
Come on. Yeah, for real.
Here's an article I saw. Ousted Metropolitan Opera conductor, we were telling this story, and alleged sexual abuser James Levine is trying to discredit one of his accusers by dredging up a love letter that the then teenager once wrote him. So this boy, now a man, said, "Hey, it's making news that this great Metropolitan Opera conductor is inappropriately touching people and raping people. It's happened to me too." So the opera guy is saying, "You know what? I have a love letter from this fucking guy. So how can I be abusing him?" And I'll explain more. But how can I be abusing him if I have a love letter? You want to talk about out of touch or not?
From a teenager.
From a teenager. And you only have one. What about all the other allegations? This is one person.
Oh, no.
Just let them keep talking.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They don't know what to do.
In his lawsuit.
They don't know what they did. I mean, they know they're wrong, but they're like, "Wait, how am I wrong? I'm usually like wrong, but then I'm right."
Yeah. They. I don't even know if they truly understand.
I wonder. I go back and forth because every time I try that shit, Keith is like, "They know." And
they know.
Like, but how? But then why would you say that if you know?
Because you're trying to fight it. Because you think you're smart. By doing all these things, that by abusing these people, I have to guess you think you're a clever person.
Okay.
And that you can outsmart anybody. And so I'm going to show you how I can outsmart this one kid. And by hearing that, maybe you'll think, well, the situation must have been about going on with other people too. Chris Hardwick saying, "I did not sexually abuse," because he knows that he can get people that didn't read that whole article about him to think, you were in a dumb, bad relationship. So when other people come out against Chris Hardwick, which I promise they will, you'll hopefully equate all of them to this one story that you just got twisted in your head.
Which, Keith, you must be right, because this is the kind of talking and behavior that got them, that twisted everything in order for them to do the things that they got to. Like this, with Chris Hardwick, that's the kind of behavior that got a woman to stay with him for 3 years, because he does do a good manipulative talk, but you can't do it to a mass audience. You'll only get some people.
Right.
So yeah, so because it works on some people, you have an audience still.
Oh my gosh. Oh, fuck. Yeah, people are already like, I mean, it's not like Harvey Weinstein, these girls.
Oh, good. That's our bar now.
Yeah. And I'm like, well,
hey, guys, as long as you're not Harvey Weinstein, go ahead.
Sure. I'm like, oh, first off, we all know. We all know.
Right.
But secondly, like, there's bad relationships, and then there's what this woman described.
That Chris Hardwick story,
That Chris Hardwick.
There's constantly coming home late for dinner, and
we don't see eye to eye. There's plenty of things. There's an R&B song for every level of bad relationship, but there is not one, I don't think, yet on what the, I don't know, check with Chris Brown. He may have a few.
Right.
That would cover what was going on, if, you know, what she was describing going on with Chris Hardwick. What a mess and a nightmare.
So the Metropolitan Opera fires this guy, and now he's suing the Metropolitan Opera. He's 74 years old, and he's presenting excerpts from a 1989 letter from the then 19-year-old, a shock pie, in which the teen writes, "I want access and I love you."
That's it? That's your love letter?
He says it is unimaginable that a person would write that. He desperately wants to see and loves the person who sexually abused or harassed him.
"Hey, Shalewa, I love you. I guess you can't rape me anymore."
Oh, well, all right.
He's trying to get
it's called love now.
He's trying to get $6.6 million from the Metropolitan Opera. Pi, now 48 and living in Brooklyn, alleges the abuse relationship began when he was 15 and the maestro was a guest conductor outside of Chicago. He claims the encounters progressed from uncomfortable hand-holding to sexual acts and continued for years. Pi told the Post last week that Levine's attempt to use the letters to clear his own name was sad. Quote, "He's not apologetic. He has an inability to see what he's done, that he's done anything wrong. The letters were the result of my many, many times acting in a way that was unhealthy for me. I don't dispute the letters, but their spin on them makes any case even stronger. Because of the abuse, I was hooked on him like a drug, even though it was bad for me. Absolutely. The Met countersued Levine in May, saying that the maestro, quote, engaged in sexually abusive and harassing conduct towards numerous artists, including teenagers.
Okay, so this means that this old man has to bring up these letters and go, see, this dude loved me. And then someone's going to say, okay, so he says that he doesn't dispute the letters, but he also says that this started when he was 15. And so the old man has to go, well, yeah. So then, bruh, what are you doing? Come on, man. And what he's doing, the whole nod, I feel like all of them have done this. There's been some level of this from everyone who has been.
What, like the response
just
of
the response
apology?
Of just like, what? No, they wanted me back. There's no way. That's like what Bill Clinton was saying. Like his whole thing with Monica Lewinsky, which I feel like by now he should have a set answer. He shouldn't have been caught off guard.
Right. It doesn't even have to be.
It's been like 20 something years.
A deep answer, a clever answer. These people are happy to have you on their stupid morning talk show. The question wasn't even too judgmental or pokey.
Right.
He said, hey, you had this thing with Monica Lewinsky. It's 2018 now. Should you give her a personal apology? You don't have an answer? Yes. And then don't even give the apology. Yes.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yes.
Lie to us, bro. You've been doing it already. Lie to us.
Everything moved so fast, and I can't believe what happened in her life, and I understand it was tough, and I apologize. Even that, I didn't say anything. And so you do that. That would have been the end, and they got to your stupid fictional book. But instead, you
got all huffy.
You go, why? Why would I? I've apologized to other people. What, I have to talk to her? What is wrong with you?
You put a cigar where the sun don't shine. You probably just for that alone,
right?
For the creams and ointments necessary for that, you probably should spot her an apology, at least.
This also was an affair, meaning like she was convinced that he's way into the way she was talking about him. So it's not like you didn't know that you at least just broke someone's heart.
Right.
Yeah, that was just a thing I did when I was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This was a young, young person. Do you know what it takes to be an intern in the White House?
So right.
She was a highly motivated, incredible person who thinks the president is going to leave his wife for her because.
Or at least into her in a way, showing her.
For real, for real.
That's just like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like, this is beyond anything I would have ever expected. And I mean, she is a kid and certainly was probably like not even like on top of being like out there in these streets because she was on the fast track to be an intern at the White House. So already you have blinders on to some of the bullshit that can happen when you're a teenager.
Yeah.
Because you're doing a thing. So I could see where this would completely. Come on, bruh. You knew what was up. She wasn't no Jennifer Flowers. You know what I mean? Like, this wasn't around your age that y'all were just tomcatting around and stuff. This was a young girl under your spell.
And she had the lowest job and you had the highest job.
Yeah.
In the White
Everybody's in that house because of you.
And they're not even asking Clinton about rape allegations in the past. They're asking you a stupid story about Monica Lewinsky that you can answer quickly.
He really should have had something prepared. Just come on.
Good. Keep showing your faces. Keep talking. Louder, harder, stronger. Retweet. Fuck you.
Well, this is my point. They think they're so clever. They think
out-talk all kinds of stuff. But they don't know. These kids today, they have all the time in the world to just look up all the stuff.
I mean, the thing, they don't need all the time in the world to look up all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
We outed in a big way male creep on this show, and then the guy says, Pat Dixon, and the guy says, hey, how about you have me on your show, and I'll talk about it and defend myself, because you think you're so smart and so clever that you can trick somebody. What? That certainly wouldn't be my reaction.
Mm. And you know how he was outed? Because I decided not to interrupt him speaking because
just to let him talk.
Well, because he was on the show a bunch, and I was like, hey, dude, like I even sent him an email. I was like, you don't seem to want to be here. I don't even know why you're like contacting me to be here again. Mm-hmm. This should happen. This should happen. And he was like, no, you're like, I don't get it. And I'm like, all right, come on the show. And this time I was like, let me let him speak and not say things like,
you must be taken. I don't want your words to come out wrong.
Yeah. Right. And so I'm like, I'm just going to, because I don't understand this. Something's up and maybe I'm just feeling it. So I wasn't like, oh, let him drop. I was like, let me see what happens when I listen more. And it turns out the listeners were listening more and were like, all of a sudden there was a shift. Mm-hmm. So let's let people talk.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's the best way. People love to talk. They tell on themselves.
Yeah.
I don't know how many comedians realize that their jokes tell on themselves constantly.
And then they go, why is everyone mad at me?
And they have no idea why. But once you get to know someone and then something happens and you're like, well, shit, this is just like his joke. Okay.
Yeah.
Word. So, yeah, like they tell on themselves all the time.
You know what Hend and I should do?
Mm.
Keith and the girls should start producing everyone's comedy album. You know? And then whatever they think is okay to say is out there.
Oh, that sounds like a nightmare. No way. I'm not doing that with you.
He's only saying that because I'm the one who produces the album. Yeah.
So it'd be fun for me.
Yeah. Just let him talk. Oh, no. No.
You know the big, that everybody loves, The Handmaid's Tale, the TV show.
Yeah, they seem to.
And it sounds like, there must be something about this dystopian future that people are finding too real that they can, you know, into it so much.
That's why I don't want to see it. I don't want to see women enslaved right now. Like, I feel like I'm trying to break out of my own shackles in a lot of different ways. And I know that this is different, but I don't even want to be near it. I didn't watch Schindler's List. Everyone's been talking to me about how feminism is fucked up and blah, blah, blah. So now I just don't want to. But I did see Marsha Belsey's version. And it was, it was a great time.
And it's a musical that she does. And it makes sense that you didn't see the TV show.
Well, I saw it with Julia was with me and she was laughing a lot more. And then when she, like the couple times that she laughed, she was like, here's what you're missing. I'm like, okay.
Right.
You know, but it was still like enjoyable. But I know that half the stuff at least I'm missing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
I don't know if everybody knows this. There was a Handmaid's Tale movie in 1990.
Okay.
It's not something I would know.
But that,
to be fair,
I mean, if I don't need 17 seasons, I can just sit down for an hour and a half and be terrified. That'd be
right.
Great.
I mean, you could read the book.
I was going to say, I don't know if you know, but there's been a book.
Yeah. It's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm not watching a TV show because it's too long. I need the movie version or I can read a book.
Yeah, you can read the book. Yeah, no, I haven't.
You could just read history.
I haven't read that book. I read a New Yorker profile about the author recently, and I feel like that's good.
I think,
and
she
then at the end
it.
Of it, I was like, "Do I want to read this book?" And I was like, "Maybe I'll just watch the TV show." And then I remembered I never watch any of the shows that I say maybe I'm going to watch. Right. I get like two or three episodes in, and then I'm like, "This isn't all that great." And then when I talk to someone about it, they're like, "Oh yeah, no, once you get to the fourth episode," and I was like, "Oh no, yeah. I tap out too early. Why didn't you just make it good from the beginning? Yeah. Why am I waiting?"
I hate being told that. No, here's what. Oh, I didn't tell you. You're going to waste four hours.
Yeah. and then maybe you'll enjoy it. No, I'm not going to. No, I'm. Yeah.
I saw this trailer for a movie. I forget the name of the movie. Rich Asian Assholes, something like this.
Rich Hot Asians?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a movie about...
Something like that. No, I think that's what it's called. Something like that.
I just like rich Asian Assholes.
And it's these kids, they're Asian, but one's a prince in secret, mm-hmm. and could they find love?
Right.
And so this girl that's into them, they start dating, and she comes to the house and doesn't know how to react to all nice stuff because she's never had nice stuff, mm-hmm. right? So
no one knows how to be subtle.
Right. So there's, right, like,
is this a couch? Do I put my feet on it? I doubt I put my feet on
it. It's just like,
I wish I was trained.
So she's in the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and they're prepping food for a party,
mm-hmm.
and she picks up a bowl of some kind of liquid,
mm-hmm.
and goes to drink it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mom stops her and goes, no, that's soap. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. I thought it was food. If it was food, would you pick up a whole bowl of soup and just take a slurp? There's nothing that you would pick up a bowl and just start drinking it.
Okay, well, then you just don't like movies. They do that in every fucking movie. There's some scene. Yeah, you know how long I had to sit here and listen to people talk about how funny there's something about Marius. He's got cum in his hair and everything. She's like, oh, it's low. Women. So what, she's never had sex before? We know what spunk looks like. We know what it looks like hanging from hair, hanging from a ceiling fan, hanging from the bleachers. We know what it looks
nice
like.
Nice life, Shalewa.
Yeah, I know. I'm all over the place.
And when you look like Cameron Diaz, you're spending your life running from
it. Yeah. So, like, I don't think she's going to... We know what lotion, hand lotion looks like. No one gets that confused. So, like, yeah, it's there's always a moment of just like come on.
But I'll tell you what, I have these problems when people say, Keith, it's just a movie, you know, suspend your disbelief. Mm-hmm. Like I would see Ant-Man and I'd have problems with it. And they have this machine, this gun that will turn small things gigantic and vice versa.
Right.
Like turn a building small. But how does
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
How does the gun know when the object is done being the object? Why does the car shrink and not the sidewalk that the car is touching?
Oh, you probably have to get it. You probably have to.
That was so deep.
There's probably a radius, and then there's probably an automatic setting.
Okay, got it.
So you got to get it in the center of whatever the radius is, probably on the viewfinder. And then it's like, oh, only things that are boom. And that is what my brain would probably be doing in the movie theater to justify what is happening.
But that's what I'm saying.
And then I would have missed a whole crucial scene. And I'd be like, well, wait, why are they doing that? Well, didn't you just see the thing that set it up beforehand? No, I was trying to figure out why I didn't also get.
Right. People think I'm nitpicky in these movies, but I do like you do.
Yeah.
So when a movie fucks up, it really pushes it because I make up a scene we didn't see. This happens because on this planet, blah, blah, blah. And I still have a problem. And that's offensive because I'll give you an example for if you think Ant-Man's a dumb example. I saw The Incredibles 2.
Mm-hmm.
Cartoon, 600... superheroes flying around doing different things made for children. There was not one problem with it. Not one mistake. So it can easily be done.
You know what it is? It also is how much do you feel like being into that movie? You may not want to know. Like I'm
not forced to see movies.
No, but you may not really want to believe in it. Like I went to see Superbad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I walked out on it, and the reason I give, the moment I walked out, which was actually very tough because I was seeing it at a drive-in, so I had to like put it in reverse and lose my space and drive away. There was no like, that's the most dramatic way to walk out of a movie. Just like, I'm done, and then boom, you know? But there was the scene where maybe they're at a party or something, and some girl has her period with white pants on, and maybe she's dancing with a dude, and she gets period blood on the dude's pants. Right. First, the logistics. There was no way. I was like, that's not how periods work.
Like you
that's
really...
not how the blood travels. They were in no position for that to happen. I was like, this is bullshit. But really what it was I was tired of watching movies about white dudes trying to get laid in high school like we've been watching for time immemorial. Like they were the only ones trying to get it in high school. And I was like, can I watch some other people
try to
fuck in high school? Like just can we switch it up? Because I know I was trying to and I know others were as well. And so, but I blamed it on the period blood thing because that's when I was like, first off, you're making me watch this retread of everything. And then you don't even try to get periods right? Fuck y'all. And then I put it in reverse and drove away.
You're like Jerry Maguire. Who's coming with me?
Yeah, so I was just like, all right, I guess I'll see you later.
Anyone else done with white kids trying to fuck?
Yeah, I was just tired of it. So maybe you didn't want to believe in Ant-Man anyway, but you wanted to believe in The Incredibles.
$180 million, highest opening of a cartoon of any kind.
Incredibles 2. Yeah, I didn't know that it took them so long to make it. Why did
14 years for a sequel.
That's so crazy.
It was that good.
Honestly,
but it was, I mean, like that was when I was actually paying attention to Pixar movies. And then I dropped off when it seemed that they wanted to only make money. But now I need to get back in because people keep talking Coco and shit.
Because everybody has superpowers. Everybody's flying around.
Mm-hmm.
One girl's powers is making portals. I'd put a portal behind Hemda. She'd go into it, fly, come out somewhere else. everything happens so fast, you almost have to see this movie a second time. Wow. Meaning the anime, I don't know that, why it takes over a decade, but that animation had to take
forever. I mean, like that alone could certainly take, if it was made by people who cared, instead of just like churning out just a basement of people just churning out crap. But it seems like they really...
A lot of nuance for a kid's movie.
That sounds so fun. Because the first Incredibles, I was ready to be like, oh my God.
Oh yeah, no, those Pixar movies, when those first came out,
so good.
Those were all fantastic. Like I remember...
They were incredible.
Yeah, I dare say. I feel like I saw that in a theater.
Yeah, you did the right thing.
I think I did.
I go IMAX, I go 3D.
Oh, no, I can't do all that. I got motion sickness issues.
Right.
You know what I find what? Going on? Have you ever gotten motion sick in a movie?
No.
I have. And I'm like, is it the popcorn? Why do I feel weird?
Why do you feel weird?
Because there's so much stuff just... Uh-huh. And the screens like curve around you. It's a lot sometimes, you know? And I'm like, I just wanted to sit... and look at a screen bigger than my phone. And now my stomach hurts. So I have to watch out for that.
What makes life good, Jalewa?
I know. I'm still looking. Oh, my God. I've been a crotchety old man since I was 15. I don't know.
You.
I don't know what it is. I mean, I love life, but ugh.
What's your favorite thing? Sex?
No.
No?
No.
Food?
Mm-hmm. Food for sure. Sugar.
Yeah. Sugar.
Yeah, absolutely.
What
sugar
kind?
And bread. Sugar.
Oh.
Just sugar.
White, brown, I don't care.
Yeah, yeah. I'll eat it out of the pack. I will eat sugar.
Straight, like pixie
just straight,
sticks.
Yeah. No, like sugar. Why are we putting pink in it? You're slowing me down. I will eat sugar out of the bag. Out of a packet. I've done it before. Sugar in the raw, I don't care.
Oh, she brings
it's
sugar
terrible.
To the cashier. It's like, oh, this one's open. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry.
They're all going to end up open. Just get me out of here.
Right.
The number two movie, Ocean's 8.
Oh, right.
Not the best reviews, neither by critics or the regular people. And not a fan. Not a fan because it's one of these. Not only are there things that don't make sense.
Is this the all-women one?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The all-women Ocean's 11. But which, okay, you know, women, it takes less of them to get things done. I can appreciate that.
Right, sure.
Right,
sure.
But, you know, it's one of those, oh, thank God you just, the next person was right there to follow the next person up, passing this necklace around. You know
okay,
what I mean?
So here's what, I haven't read too many of the reviews, but from what I understand, people are like, this is not... This isn't real. Like, there's no way. It's too coincidental.
Right.
And I'm like, let's revisit the history of Ocean's 11 because I love Ocean's 11. I love the original one with the Rat Pack. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, yeah, Rat Pack.
Yeah.
And I love the one, the Steven Soderbergh, just a bunch of rich dudes who had time.
Right.
And so they played tricks on each other and then also maybe stole money from, you know, casinos or whatever.
Right.
None of that shit made sense either. That those movies both were literally just people who hung out already.
And
they just made
out.
A movie. They just made a movie. Someone just turned on cameras in both cases. So like for them to just be like, in fact, when they did Ocean's 12, I was like, y'all are pushing it. Even the Rat Pack only did one. We don't need to see y'all now in the south of France hanging out. Now you're really, come on. I mean, I'll watch it. But, because, you know, I like, because I always put it on a director because I like Steven Soderbergh. I will watch Steven Soderbergh
really
movies.
Teaching
so
lessons.
Even if that means that I have to sit through Magic Mike, so be it. He directed it. Now, Magic Mike extra. I don't know. That one was for me. But, you know, so for them to even put that on, like, Ocean's 8, like, it was just too much, like, they just happened to be in all the places. Yeah, that's how a heist works.
Did Magic Mike get you hot?
No, it makes me uncomfortable when I see out, like, overt sexuality makes me uncomfortable. But I enjoy watching people, like, being aggressively sexually, and I'm like, hey, slow. Like to me, I'm like, yo, slow down. What do we do? I'm probably gonna sleep with you, but nuance, please, a little nuance.
She's leaning towards. She's at the front of her chair. Slow down.
Yeah, but like I, it's just so silly and over the top. Body rolls are so silly and over the top. Dudes,
when he humps the floor.
Yeah, just all, I'm like, come, what are we doing? It's so, you know, I don't even, yeah, it's just, it makes me uncomfortable, but I enjoy watching it, and I liked watching women in the theater like, woo! And I'm like, come on now, that's not even, that's never going to happen. But, I mean, am I really seriously trying to get to Vegas to see the live show? Yes. I am. Will I be devastated if they actually pick me to be on stage? Yes, I will. I don't want to. I just want to sit in the back like a
true
creep.
But would
like
you still go? Creep. Would you still go?
I mean, if it's one of the guys that I find attractive, I don't know. How are they lifting like 200-pound women? That's the other thing. I worry. Amazing. I know they can do it, but I worry.
Is it an insult?
No, not an insult. Just like, what if I'm the one that makes them slip a disc? I can't have that. Like, I took down a Magic Mike dancer. I can't have that on my conscience.
You're like, I saw the documentary Magic Mike. They don't have insurance.
Yeah, I'm like, they're dancers. I don't want to hurt anybody.
Have you experienced like a really cool way to hit on you? Or are you usually like, I am pass?
I am skeptical. Actually, you have to be very, you actually kind of have to be very aggressive. Because if you're subtle with it, I don't think you're hitting on me.
But
I
you
think
just we're hanging. Said to be
I don't like. I don't. I know. I know. That's why I'm. That's why I'm alone. But if you say something that's like super, just like aggressive, I understand what's happening, and I'm like, Lord, that was aggressive. All right. Well, let's go. I mean. You know, bless your heart for being that aggressive in front of people. I'll reward you. Let's go.
But you found him attractive.
Probably.
Is that Alanis Morissette song, One Hand in My Pocket? Is that like the best song?
No, I don't know.
I'm smiling, but I'm giving the finger. This is you.
No, I'm more into her cover of My Humps.
Okay.
Ew, really?
Yeah, it was actually pretty funny.
Oh, okay.
She slowed it down. There was a whole video. It was actually pretty funny.
I'm going to take your word for it.
It was. It was really silly. Yeah.
Okay.
Because that song is, come on, what are we doing?
Seriously. Here's something that threw me during this Ocean's 8 movie.
All right.
That Sandra Bullock, mm-hmm. It's a shame when the beautiful ones do it because God only gives us so many, had so much face work done.
Yo, she fucked her face up, right?
So much. Charlize Theron, another angel from heaven. And they don't acknowledge it. She was in jail for 5 years, the Sandra Bullock. I'm like, act like somebody cut your face up and the doctors did a pretty good job.
Right, yeah. She, what did she give
it's like it, when Kenda talks about Tom Cruise and his super white horse teeth, but acts like he's a janitor.
And also, he got his eyes done, too. That's the thing is, you do it one too many times and you think you're maintaining and you actually have moved into. Remember when Kenny Rogers showed up out of nowhere and he looked like Jennifer Grey?
Yeah.
It was like, where's the top half of your face? You're an old dude. You should have wrinkles. Yeah, no, she, like, Sandra Bullock gave away some award, maybe at, like, last year's Oscars or something. And she came out, and I was like, ah, Sandy, you went one too far. And now you can't go back. Like, you can't have them add those wrinkles back. Not that there were really any there.
She draws them.
Yeah, just kind of, just fold, actually tapes wrinkles on or something. And so now her face is just... Blech.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It is.
Apparently that's what it takes to star in movies.
It doesn't. Wow. I'm telling you not to do it. If you're doing it for guys, stop listening to us. That's when you listen to us? Stop it. Stop it. Meg Ryan, take a look.
Oh, my God.
Meg Ryan is his cautionary tale.
Yeah. For sure.
Honest to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but anyway, I get it. I get the importance of Black Panther. I get the importance of an Ocean's 8 movie. Women get it done this time.
Right.
Except it happened to be a male director. The funniest person was James Corden in the last minute. It's actually a guy that collects all the jewels.
For real?
Yeah.
Well, see, now I'm never going to see it. They don't even get to like watch fountains or anything. Man. You see, I knew there was going to be something. Ridiculous.
You're still
going
to see it.
I'm probably not going to see it. Yeah, no, they fucked up. I loved the two original Ocean's 11. And even with this, I was just like, ugh.
Yeah, I did.
I get it. It didn't feel the same. It literally felt like, we'll just get together. These women, y'all want to see women? Here's some women. And I'm like, well, yeah, but I also kind of want to, like the whole point of it was like, it was these dudes who were already kind of hanging out. like women hang out, right? Like y'all can't find. I think Sandra Bullock, you could build anything around Sandra Bullock. I think she's game for anything, just her attitude alone. I think if that was a starting point, that was a good starting point. But then I think we were just kind of throwing a lot of shit.
I feel like she only picks it. Boring movies or only gets selected for boring movies.
Yeah, but I think as a person, I think she's cool. And I thought that's what informed the Ocean's movies, was that you were kind of cool. People hung out. Y'all hung out. And then y'all just kind of filmed this movie.
Right. There was a little wink to the audience where she's getting ready for this major heist and Sandra Bullock, and she's looking in the mirror and she's hyping herself up and she says, "This isn't for you. This isn't for them. It's for an 11-year-old girl that wants to grow up and be a criminal." You're like, all right, I get it. Because of course women are marginalized. Look at the Fantastic Four. Okay? You got the one guy, he's big, he's strong, he's made out of rocks.
Okay.
All right. Yes, that one.
You got another guy, he can stretch his body infinitely, right? Nothing's out of reach.
Okay.
You got a guy, the Human Torch, he's made out of fire.
Sure.
And then you got the woman.
Mm-hmm. I'm invisible.
Right?
Right. But we already are invisible.
But that's not a bad one.
Yeah, I won't get in your way. You don't even have to see me. Let's go fight Quimes. You know? No, it's too much. So yes, put out an Ocean's 8.
By the way, that stretchy guy, I assume it works on his penis too?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, but you get less girth. I don't, you know. I guess he can make it in like a ball and then.
Yeah. I mean, like it's going to, there's a whole thing he probably has to do while you're sitting there waiting for him.
And what condom is he going to use?
I guess his own.
His own hand.
Right? You just stretch that out so it's all, it's built in. It's like an inclusive stay.
I would stretch.
Like a sandal stretchy dude.
I would stretch his whole clothes so he doesn't get to come in me.
He probably does that on his own. He probably has like a little.
No, he wants to come in me and I keep squishing it closed.
That's funny. Kendra didn't ask, how does the rock guy come?
No, he doesn't. No, the rock guy just cries and says, this never happened before.
Wow, Kendra's in a place right now. Shalewa?
Yes.
Your Twitter account is Silky Jumbo.
That is correct.
The Instagram is the same, at Silky Jumbo. Yeah. And the website is Shalewa Sharp, Shalewa,
mm-hmm.
Sharpe.
Yep.
And see what's doing, .com. Yeah. See what's going on.
And we're also going to have you on our after show if you have 5 minutes.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, what we do is we put exclusive content on our YouTube page. Just search for Keith and the Girl. Mm-hmm. And here's what I do.
Okay.
I put a movie trailer on my computer. In silent, I describe it to you guys. The first person who gets the title of the movie wins nothing.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
It's my favorite prize.
Right? I think you'll do well.
You're going to like it because hearing Hemda describe a movie, and she's never seen a movie ever. It's right. Like, this guy, I think most people know him, is walking down a thing.
Okay, all right.
Hemda, you don't got to see a movie to know what's called a street. Oh, well. Hi, Keith and Hemda, this person writes, Bernardo, just dropping by to show some love and thank you both for your My Opening Line podcast. Being new to the comedy scene, listening to your podcast gave me the push I needed to finally get on stage. I was not good, but I loved it.
Good. You could be on our show in like 10, 20 years.
This will be a funny email to pull back up when I get good enough to get a chance to meet you both on a podcast feature. Smiley face.
Ugh, that would be so fun.
P.S. Keith, I forget that stalker dude's name who commented on your ex-wife's Instagram, but that guy. All right, already endearing yourself to me. So now all you got to do is be good at stand-up. And we'll talk to you, all right?
And I like when people have the worst time on their first time because that makes the best stories, you know, couple of years later.
All right, there you have it. Everybody, thank you very much. We'll talk to you tomorrow. KeithandTheGirl.com